think I would ever make it, ever make it, ever make it. Doubted it would come to pass. Listen to the lies of the enemy. Said I'm in over my head, but God said go, go, go. Trust in my promises. I'm a man of my word. You don't have to die here. You can choose life and dream again.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Adultish. I'm so glad that you guys are tuning in and that I have you guys here with me. I just want to take some time and just show some appreciation and some love to those of you who have purchased, who have downloaded, who have streamed, posted, reposted my single Dream Again. I'm so grateful to you guys. I'm so honored, and I'm just at a loss for words sometimes because, as most of you know, I did not think that this was actually going to happen. But you know, God is amazing and God is faithful, and so I just wanted to take a little bit of time out and just thank you guys for, you know, coming on the ride with me. When I started this podcast, I told you guys that this podcast is to educate, is to make us better mentally, spiritually, physically. This podcast is to make us better. And, you know, I just want to be able to share some people with you that I have encountered in my life and that I believe that can, you know, share things with you. Even myself, I've been through some things. I have, you know, experienced some things that I think would be, you know, great to share with people. One thing that I am never ashamed or never scared of doing is sharing my testimony and sharing what I've learned and what I've taken away from what, you know, I've been allowed to experience in my life so far. So I just wanted to take some time out and say thank you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in weekly to Adultish as we are winding down to the end of the season. I can't believe it. We're winding down to the end of the season. But I just wanted to thank you guys because you don't have to. And I'm really grateful and I am thankful to everyone that tunes in every week and that has posted and talked to their friends about it. I'm just extremely grateful and I thank you guys. Okay. Well, today's topic is going to be something that I find that's very close and dear to my heart, especially as a young adult, a millennial. We talk a lot about maintaining our mental space and our inner peace, and we're in a generation that talks a lot about that. And I'm grateful that we talk about it. I'm grateful that we want to know more about it. But sometimes I felt, and I don't know if this is everybody, but I know for me, sometimes I feel like I used to talk a lot about categorizing friendships or maintaining my mental and emotional well-being, and I wasn't really doing it. I never really took it into action until I would say maybe last year. And, you know, I always say better late than never. Even if you fall off the wagon, but you identify it, you see it, and you're just picking up right where you left off, I believe that that's growth and that's doing better. So I want to hop in to today's topic, and that's basically defining our relationships. And also I'm going to talk about, that's going to go into categorizing our friendships. So I kind of want to make this a series. Y'all let me know, but I kind of want to make this a series. And I would start with friends, because that's a very important category. That is a category that sometimes we place the title on people, and we label people friends very loosely. We use the word friend very loosely, and I know that we say that a lot. We use the word friend and love extremely, like, just careless. And we put title like friends on people that haven't earned it. And I know that sometimes when you say, oh, you didn't earn it, or you didn't earn my love, or you didn't earn my respect, people may feel like earning it means like it's like a bad thing or a derogatory word to say. But honestly, I don't see anything wrong with that, because if I put a label as friend on a person, then I trust you. I trust you with some of my secrets. I trust you with, you know, my heart. I trust you. And so as someone that is an open book, I am, you know, amongst all of my friends, I would say that I am a very open book. I don't really hide anything. I am, you know, I'm the type of person where what you see is what you get. I'm not going to change up. I don't really do that. You know, no offense to people that do, but for me, I don't change up. I'm not like the weather. I'm not fickle. I pretty much, if you ask anybody that knows me well, that's been friends with me for a long time, I pretty much stay the same. Not maturity wise, but just as a person, character, I pretty much stay the same. I am, you know, I'm very outspoken. I'm opinionated. I'm fun. I'm funny. And, you know, I love having a good time. But I also, as I got older and as I'm getting older, I realized that I want to be very careful what I say here, guys, but I feel like I'm less of a clown. And what I say by clown is, you know, someone that's always cracking jokes, somebody that's always like, you know, the life of the party, always doing something funny. I realize that I'm less of that, and I'm starting to like that. And the reason why I like it is because for so many years, for the majority of my life so far, I always felt like I had the responsibility to make people laugh. I always felt like I had it's like I had pressure on me to make people enjoy themselves or have a good time or do something for shock value. I always felt like I had that task or that pressure that was on me. And I realized going back into childhood, I got that because I used to get bullied a lot. It was really bad. I got bullied so much to the point where I really did not want to go back to school. There were times where I faked sicknesses. I know all of us did, but I really did it. Like they could have gave me an Oscar. I faked some sicknesses. I have made myself throw up. I have done I've done so much to let my mom let me stay home from school. And anybody that grew up Caribbean or African American, y'all know that our parents do not play with school. Like, you are going to school. Even if you were coughing, sneezing, runny nose, whatever, you're still going to school. But I took my sicknesses to like the max, and that's what I would do. And one day I kind of got a little sick and tired of it, and I was just like, you know what? I don't really like to fight. It's not that I didn't know how to fight. I just didn't like it. Like, who likes to get into a fight? I didn't. Like, at that age, I did not. And I still didn't throughout my whole academic career. I never liked fights. It took me a lot to fight back. But I didn't like fights. I didn't like causing a scene in class or in school. I didn't like that stuff. So I said, you know what? And also, being an apostolic Pentecostal girl, it literally, like, I stuck out like a sore thumb. Like, literally, I really did. I wore the long skirts. My hair was not always, to the standard of what the other girls were doing with their hair. And so I stood out. And plus, I was taller than everybody in my class. So I just stood out, and it didn't make it any more. It made it more difficult. Let's just say that. So, I wasn't fly. I wasn't a fighter. I wasn't a bully. But one thing I knew how to do, I realized that I knew how to tell jokes. And I had older brothers and sisters, that were way older than me. And I always listened to their conversations, as a younger sibling does. And I would hear jokes that they would say. I would hear, things that my older cousins would say. And I'm like, okay. Like, it's funny. It's kind of funny for them to say it, like, as older kids, but for like a 9-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old kid to say it, it's like, whoa, like, your jokes is on another level. And that's what I did. And I started kind of remixing their jokes, and I made it my own. And I realized, people started to laugh, and people really started to gravitate towards me because they knew I had a smart mouth, and they knew that I, as much as, old girl was throwing hands, my words were like daggers. My words literally broke bones. And I took pride in that for a long time. I always knew that my mouth was my weapon. I knew my words would hurt and cut deep. And I took pride in that for a long time. And until I would say my 20s, like early 20s, I realized that it's a big responsibility to be the clown 24/7, because now people are so used to you making them laugh. People are so used to you making them, be shocked and, oh my goodness, I can't believe she said this. I can't believe she did that. People are so used to you doing things that they're waiting for something else to happen. So it's like I couldn't go anywhere and just be cool, like just chill. And it's like if I was chilling, I wasn't really talking too much or saying anything. It's like, oh, what's wrong with you? What happened? Are you okay? And it's like, yeah, I'm chilling. Like, can I have a day off? Like, do you pay me? I'm not a stand-up comedian, and I'm not a court jester. So, I had to realize that I'm nobody's clown. And that was a protective personality, which I'll get into that in another episode when I talk about masks and cover-ups. But yeah, that was me hiding, me telling jokes, me being a clown, me doing things for shock value. That was a mask. That was a shield. I was hiding behind that to just live and to survive. There are certain things you have to do, especially growing up where I grew up. in Brooklyn. I grew up in a rough part of Brooklyn, and you had to have something. It was either you fought, it was either you were cute, you had a talent, or you were funny. And I fell in the category of funny. So, you know, like I said, we'll get more into that at a later time. But, yeah, so as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that I don't have to be, you know, a clown anymore. And I love that. I'm taking joy and peace in that. And, as I talk about that, I can kind of segue into categorizing our friendships. Now, growing up is not as glamorous as I guess we thought it was going to be when we were younger. And I say that because I remember having such a vivid picture of how my life would look when I was 21, when I was 25. And it looks nothing like how I planned it to look. And guess what? It's okay. But also the beautiful thing of growing up is you change and you evolve every day. So the things that, you know, you thought were cool and you thought was funny, or you thought was just who you were, it's not a part of you anymore. It's not a part of who you are. It's not a part of your makeup and your character. And, you know, the friends that you attracted at that stage or at that state in your life, those friends start to change because you're no longer who you used to be. Now, I talk about this category, this friend category, and it's a very important, category because that's the first thing we really know outside of our parental relationships. And if you have siblings, it's, you know, because siblings are your first friends, and it's outside of your sibling relationship. After you manage your parental relationship and your sibling relationship, you go out in the world, you go to kindergarten, and ooh, you have a friend. And you know, you determine if that is your friend on how nice they are to you, on how they keep your secrets or what they share with you. And as we get older, it's kind of the same thing. It's, that's my friend right there because she's so nice, she's so considerate, she's funny, she's this, she's that. We name all the characteristics, and maybe 5 or 3 years, you and that person are no longer friends. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a dramatic fallout. And that's something that we have to walk away from, that toxicity, as like, I'm no longer friends with this person because of this, this, that, and the third. Like something dramatic had to happen. Sometimes you can simply walk away from a friendship because you outgrew that person, or that person just outgrew you. You guys are no longer on the same wavelength. You guys are no longer on the same page. And you know what? It's okay, because we're growing and we're learning. I had an experience last year, and it was one of the most toughest experiences I've been through in a friendship. And I lost this friendship because there was no boundary set. And I'm going to talk about setting boundaries in your friendships and even in your relationships in general, your relationship in general. We have to start setting boundaries. My motto for this year, me and my best friend, Kadeen, we actually said our motto for this year is, I don't play about me. I don't play about me, and I will protect me at all costs. And the reason why we said things like that was because we find ourselves on this, on another side of the spectrum, which is called giver. Now, there are two different people in life. There are the givers and there are the takers. I remember my older sister, she first taught me that lesson when I was maybe like 18, 19. She taught me that important lesson. My big sister always kind of just ingrained that in me, is there's two people in this lifetime you will encounter, and you will either identify with the taker or the giver. My friend and myself, we identify most with being givers. Being a giver doesn't have one look or doesn't have one face. It doesn't always mean monetary. It doesn't always mean giving of your time. Sometimes it could just be, you know, giving advice all the time. It can be, someone mentioned this on my Instagram, having a savior syndrome. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because that's also a part of being a giver. So giving looks different. Giving is in so many different ways. And for me, I had this concept about myself. I had a knack of finding broken people and making them feel safe. And I'm not saying that that's not cool, that's not nice, but after a while, it can take a mental toll on you. It can drain you mentally and physically. It can really drain you. And when I mean physically, I mean physically. Like, there's times where I will have a long conversation with someone about their life and about what decisions they're making. And it's not because I'm all knowing. It's because I've been through certain things before, and I share my experience. I share, you know, what has worked for me. I give, you know, examples. I give advice, and I just keep it moving. And also, I would say it's kind of the nurturer in me, and a lot of you can identify with it. A lot of us are nurturers at heart, not just women, but there are men out there as well that are nurturers, that want to see people do better for themselves, that want to see people grow. And unfortunately, that person will not change unless they themselves want that change. And I had to realize that. And I learned that lesson. Unfortunately, I learned it. I already knew about it, but I never really took it into consideration until later on in life. And I wish I would have walked away when, you know, maybe the first three incidents happened. Now, with boundaries and friends, you have to, I don't want to say cut people off or throw people away. I don't want to say that, but you have to become selfish, selfish with you. Your time, like they say, time is money, and it's true. You know, but not only that, not only time is money, but time is valuable, because that time that you took pouring and pouring and pouring into this individual or individuals, you could have spent that time doing something for maybe someone else, or not even maybe yourself. Because what I realize is the savior in us, the therapist in us, the counselor in us, and just wanting to be an outright fixer. That is also a cover up, because sometimes it's easier to fix other people around us than really fixing ourselves. Yeah, that was, I'm going to let that marinate. But that's real talk, because the thing is this, you have to consider yourself first. my mom always told me God cannot use a sick saint. And it's true. Just like your employer cannot use a sick employee. You have to be healthy, especially in the times we're in COVID. We have to be healthy. We can't go to work sick. And so if we're going into work sick, we can't provide for ourselves because we can't operate sick. And it's weird because it's like, in the natural, that's how it is in the spiritual. That's how it is, you know, emotionally. Like, we can't go to work sick because once they know that we're sick, it's like, hey, man, go home. And sometimes you don't have sick leave. You know, you're not getting sick pay. Sometimes, not all jobs. And then in the spiritual, you can't really operate sick. I mean, you can. It's been done. I've done it before. But you're less effective. You're not that effective. And so when you are lacking effectiveness, or better yet, spiritually, you're a well for people you're a well, basically. Like, try to go with me here. Imagine yourself being a well. A well has water. A well must be filled up at all times. And if people come to a well and you are the well and you're operating sick, that means that you are giving off infection, disease. You're infecting them. So you think that you're helping, but you're not. You're actually hurting. What? Like, man, you're hurting more than you are helping. And emotionally, if you are pouring out of an empty vessel continuously, that's not effective either. Your advice, your help, that's not effective because you're operating on zero. You're operating on 20%. You can't do much for someone that's hurting and that's sick. So we have to take care of ourselves first. So that's what I say. What I mean by considering yourself, that's what I mean. You have to consider yourself. And when you consider yourself, that's when you start to categorize your friendships. It may sound a little harsh, but you have to do that. You have to do that. Once we define our relationship, like, in order to define our relationships, we have to categorize them. We have to. We can't define anything if it's not categorized yet. We can't. A friendship or a relationship in general, it's give and take. It's give and take. You just can't keep getting withdrawals. People can't keep taking withdrawals. There has to be some deposits. So in order to be mentally, emotionally, spiritually sound and full, you have to first consider yourself. You have to first take care of yourself. And when you take care of yourself, you are going to start to realize what is good for you, what benefits you, and what doesn't. And when you start creating boundaries with people, and like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to cut them off, but it means that you see how people operate and you take note. You put that in your back pocket and you save it, and you make a mental note, and you start watching behaviors. You start seeing patterns. And when you see that, that's when you can say, okay, I'll back up a little bit. I'll start to fall back little by little, because what happens is when you just drop off all at once, you know, it's never really going to end well. Let's be real. It's never really going to end well. But when you start to back up bit by bit by bit, you get to see certain things that you probably missed before. And when you're backing up little by little, they'll take time and they'll fall off too. You know, one thing I would say is, and I know I said before that I don't really like the words cut off or, you know, leave alone, whatever. But if this has been really straining you, if this has been draining your mental health, if this has been hurting your heart, just hurting you, then I would suggest you having to take drastic measure and just peace out. Because at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for you. I'm going to say this one last thing. A friendship or relationship is not transactional. Like I said, there has to be a deposit and a withdrawal. And one thing that I've learned from losing people that were so precious to me, so close to my heart, I had to realize that I couldn't save them. I couldn't hold on to them unless they wanted to be held on to. And not only that, there were just some friendships that I had to make that decision and walk away. And it was painful. It's going to be painful. You know, I'm the type of person where it's like, well, I don't want to say I am, but I was the type of person. And I still like, listen, it's real. I struggle with letting people go, especially when I have a history with them. And that's something that will get you in trouble. Oh, but we have history. That's going to get you in trouble. Because history doesn't mean that I need to take them with me. History doesn't mean that, well, we've come this far, so no. History or them, you know, buying you things, giving you gifts, or, you know, them being there for you, seemingly being there for you every time you have, you know, something rough going on or whatever, and it seems like they're always there. Misery loves company. You have to understand, misery loves company. And, you know, you also have to understand that sometimes, no matter how good someone's intentions are, people are people. There are things that people are hurting with or suffering with that you will never know. Even if you're their close friend, you will never know until it shows up or it reaches its rears its head out. History will get you in trouble. Oh, but they're nice. It'll get you in trouble. There's plenty of nice people that are toxic. Sorry to say, but there are plenty of people that are nice that also have toxic qualities in them. You have to put you first, and you have to understand how serious it is to take yourself serious. Put it like that. You have to realize that you are all that you've got, because if you don't love you, if you don't take care of you, if you don't cherish you, if you don't value you, you cannot expect someone else to. You cannot expect the label that you put on someone as friend, you can't expect them to value you either. What you have to realize is that you can no longer play games with yourself. It's funny how a lot of times we say, And not all of us, but some of us, we say, oh, people keep playing with me. And, you know, it's the audacity for me. Well, it's the audacity that you're taking yourself for granted. And I've had to talk to myself like this. I had to say, there was one time I got so fed up with how certain people were treating me. And I had to realize, it's not, hold on. The problem is not them. It's not all on them. There's equal blame here. The problem is me as well. The biggest problem is me. Because yes, it's toxic for those people to treat me the way they treat me. But what's more messed up and what's more toxic is that I'm allowing it. Listen to me, y'all. The biggest thing, the biggest and the most dangerous thing in relationships is the enabler. Okay? It's the enabler. We always see or point fingers at the abuser and the people who are the manipulators and the puppet masters. But we never label, we never look at the enablers. We never look at the people that are manipulated, that allow themselves to be manipulated. We never look at the puppeteers. We never look at them. We have to start taking responsibility, and we have to start saying, you know what? I'm enough. I'm worth it. And if this person doesn't see my value, doesn't see my worth of how good of a friend, a good of a person I am, then okay, then it's fine. Sometimes you have to make the hardest decision and say, okay, if I'm going to ride solo, I'm going to ride solo on this. Sometimes we're so scared of being alone and we're so scared to be by ourselves. But that's when we really start to see ourselves. That's when we still really start to learn ourselves and learn who we are. I didn't start learning a lot of things about me until I really detached from certain things and from certain environments and from certain people. It's until I started to detach little by little, I noticed things about me. I noticed certain things or certain characteristics or certain attitudes. I started noticing the toxic ways that I had about myself that I didn't realize, because I was dealing with other toxic people and their behavior. When you can walk by yourself and you can be your own friend, you will learn so much about you. And when you learn who you are, and when you can stand 10 toes down and say, this is who I am, that's when you can healthily and properly choose the right people to be friends with, to align yourself with. And that's also when you can discern and judge who's a phony that's coming, who's a manipulator that's coming, who's a taker and an abuser that is coming. Relationships are non-transactional. If you are not getting anything in return, and it might be painful because there are a few friendships that a few of us, that now that I'm talking, some of y'all can have some of these friends in y'all heads. You guys know people like this, and you're like, oh man, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. I praise God for a conscience, man, because your conscience and even, you know, some of us that are, you know, that are fire baptized, we call it our Holy Ghost, our Holy Spirit, the discernment, you know, our conviction is our loudest preacher. It's our loudest pastor. The pastor could tell you everything in the book, but it's what you feel like after the message. If you don't feel convicted, then okay, it didn't do anything for you. But if you know that someone is not treating you right, if someone is taking you for granted, if things are just extremely toxic, and you feel a little pricking, like, you know what, I gotta step away, it keeps coming back up into the forefront of your brain. It keeps coming back up in your thoughts. It's just not you tripping. It's not you being overly sensitive. It's you. It's your conscience talking. It's your inner man talking. So I can go on and on about this. Like I said, I really do want to make this a series. I think I want to. But because I think it's very important, because we can't talk about self-awareness or inner peace or mental stability, mental health. We can't talk about these things if we're not first addressing who we are, who our friends are, what we allow around us, and who we align ourselves with. We have to first address these issues first within ourselves and then go forward. So I hope that you guys really just took away some things from this episode and even learned a few things. If you've heard this before from someone, then hey, you heard it again. I really want us to start taking better care of ourselves. You know, yes, we can eat right, we can work out and exercise and whatever you do to get yourself together. But true self-care starts from within. It starts from the heart. It starts there first, and then it works its way out. You cannot love somebody more than you love yourself. Because if you do, my friend, that's never going to work out. You have to take care of yourself. You have to love yourself. And you have to see yourself the way God sees you. Because the way he sees us, man, it's amazing. So I just want to leave you guys with just a word of, you know, encouragement, because many times, you know, people talk about these topics and it's like, wow, like, you sound so self-aware, you sound so confident in yourself and confident that, you know, you're good and on your own or whatever. But it took me a long time to get to this point. You know, I would even say it took me up until last year or early this year to really start seeing the value in myself as a person, as an individual, just the quality of friendship that I bring. And it took me a while to see that. And now that I see it, you can't play games with me, because I'm not playing games with me, you know. So I just implore you guys to just take care of yourselves. Be good to you. Be good to you. Make sure you are doing the very best to put yourself first. Consider yourself. And in order to define your relationships, you must first categorize your relationships. So I love you guys. Thank you again so much from the bottom of my heart for tuning in to Adultish. I will see you again next week. I love you guys. Be good.